This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
We do talk a lot here on RNIB Connect Radio about audio-described theatre performances, and as someone who has been to quite a few myself over the years, I know firsthand how a theatre show can be brought to life through well-crafted and delivered audio description. In many ways, the role of an audio describer is slightly hidden and maybe a little bit behind the scenes, but what does it take to become an audio describer? Well, Remy Lloyd, head of outreach at the Wolverhampton and Grand Theatre, has just been through the training and has just delivered her first couple of audio described shows. Remy joins me now here on RNIB Connect Radio to tell me more about the training and those first couple of audio described shows. Hello Remy, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi Toby, thank you for having me.
Remy, I know you have been very much involved with Access at the Wolverhampton Grand Theatre and being there for many of the audio described performances too. And I wondered what made you want to become an audio describer?
Ooh, big question. I just absolutely love accessible theatre in general. It's very much part of my job. And over the years, I've worked really closely with Anne and Theo and a number of amazing describers, you know, got to have a sneak preview into what they do, but I've always been intrigued, you know, what else goes on, because I sort of just see the delivery, the bit that comes at the end. I always loved creative writing, I've always loved theatre, so they sort of tie in really well with that love of access as well. So when Anne put out an advert trying to be an audio describer, it was a no-brainer for me. There's been quite a few things in my life that I've sort of thought, is that the right thing for me? But when I saw that, I thought, actually, that's 100% something that I need to do. And who better to train me than the wonderful Anne Hornsby? So that's it in a nutshell.
And there's a lot that goes into an audio described performance. There are the pre-show introductory notes that give an introduction to the show, description of the set, costumes and characters, the pre-show live touch tour, where blind and partially sighted people get the opportunity to go onto the stage, explore some of the set and props, and in some cases meet some of the cast and crew, to the actual live through description. So there's quite a lot for an audio describer to do. And, you know, there's a lot to do there. So are there any parts of the training that you found easier to do? And if so, why?
I think the touch tour was probably the bit that I was the most confident on, because I'd done them. I'd supported the describers in my own, you know, in the theatre that I work at. So I felt really quite at home with the touch tour, which was, for other people, the daunting part, because that's the part where you're actually, it's you. You're not behind, you know, a microphone or... So that was probably the easiest part for me, I think, as I say, because I've seen them do it so many times and I've helped. So I think I found that quite natural. I think that came really natural. The thing that I found the most difficult is probably just how we adapt, how you adapt what you do depending on the show, because it's not a one size fits all. Obviously, if you're doing a musical, the sort of language that you use and your tone of voice and all of these things need to vary so much to if you're doing a scary one or a children's show. So yeah, I think that was the thing I found the most difficult, was figuring out the timing of things and also just sort of finding that nice balance to make it actually tie in with the show.
And audio description, in my mind, is a real craft and skill, and something that I think, you know, sort of takes a bit of time to learn and perfect, and something that you're always learning from. And there's a great sort of family of audio describers out there to talk to and learn from. So a real family of describers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what sort of made me feel as confident as I did when I went into my first show, because I knew I had this. We've got a group chat with a lot of us in that, you know, we can ask for advice on, or, you know, I've done this bit like this, but what do you think? Would you have done it differently? And it is a really supportive group of people. I mean, I've only just sort of scraped the surface, I think, with who I've sort of contacted with and spoke to. But yeah, I get the idea that there's a huge number of people that are all really supportive and willing to help.
And how did those first couple of audio described shows, and did you receive any feedback or comments from blind and partially sighted audience members?
Yeah, the first one I did was actually at the venue that I work at. So that was a really well attended one, because when our regular customers saw it was me, even though it was the woman in black, so it was a scary show. So some of them might not have come otherwise, but they were just really supportive and they wanted to be there for my first audio description, which was amazing. And they all gave me such wonderful feedback. So I was really, really happy with that. And then I've done quite a few spooky ones. Anne gave me the scary ones to start me off with. And I had similar feedback for that. And then I did my first musical actually on the Saturday just gone. I did An Officer and a Gentleman. So that was a really big challenge because, as I say, my first musical, there's a lot to think about anyway. But with a musical of that caliber, when there's, you know, probably 15 songs and dance numbers and, you know, a script to contend with and an audience that are screaming and whooping. Yeah, but really good feedback for all of them so far. Everyone's been really kind and supportive. And yeah, fingers crossed I'm doing a good job.
And as a describer, what makes a really good audio described for you from your point of view?
Oh, I think matching the tone of the show. So as I said, if it's a spooky show, but you have someone speaking in a really upbeat voice all the way through, you know, that's going to sort of throw the person off. So I think making sure that you blend into the performance and you're enhancing the show rather than something that really stands out. And similarly with the timing of it, you know, making sure you're not clashing, making sure that the visually impaired audience are getting as much, if not a little bit of a better experience than the sighted audience. So just being there to really enhance the show rather than be a distraction from it. I think that's the key. That's my main takeaways anyway.
I think you're truly right there. I think it's mainly that thing of, in some ways, people not knowing there's a describer there. And I've heard many of my sort of blind and partially sighted friends who I've been to AD performances with who say, well, not quite, they haven't noticed that the describer's there because you are there describing in their ears and telling them what's going on. But it's that thing of, you know, it makes it seamless. I think that's when, a good description is one that's seamless and you don't notice it's there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was really like a big takeaway from the training. It was, that's the main thing you need to craft, that's the main thing you'll work on. You know, I think they chose people for the training that they already knew had quite a good choice of language and that could do it, sort of the creative writing sort of side of it. But yeah, the main bulk of the training was that element, just blending in with the show and yeah, enhancing it.
Any thoughts on describing not just theatre but other forms of art for blind and partially sighted people?
Yeah, I definitely would like to dabble with that. I work really close to an art gallery, so I think that would be a really interesting one. And we do quite a few exhibitions here at the theatre where we sort of bring out like memorabilia and artwork as well. So that would be a really interesting one. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm always up for a new challenge. That's the thing about me. I'm always, I will say yes to pretty much any challenge given to me. So definitely.
And what is the next show that you'll be audio describing and what type of show is it?
I'm describing An Officer and a Gentleman, again, the musical, and it's at Bradford on Saturday the 30th of March, and it's a really feel-good musical. I mean, if you've seen the film, you'll love the musical. Really uplifting and lots of really nostalgic 80s hits. Really good fun.
Romy, if listeners would like to find out more about your next audio described show and others, where can they go to find out more?
So they can either follow Mind's Eye Description on social media. Anne and the team put on all of the audio described performances that are coming up on their social media. But then also here at the Wolverhampton Grand, we have an extensive list of audio described performances on our website as well under the Access Performance section. And we also have an audio brochure that people can sign up for, which is on the website as well.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Remy, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and giving me a great insight into the craft, skill and work of an audio describer.
Thank you so much.